Have you ever received a gift from someone and after you got that gift in hand, you didn't know how to respond to it? You just didn't know what to say? You were left somewhat speechless and dumbfounded when you received their gift. Now, ladies, I'm not talking about the ironing board your husband gave you on your last anniversary, but I'm talking about something that's valuable and something precious, something unusual, something extraordinarily priceless. Have you ever received a gift like that? And when you received it, you were just left speechless. You didn't know how to respond. It was such an incredible gift, it left you tongue-tied. I don't know if you've ever received a gift like that or not. If you have, you will remember it. In fact, a moment ago, as I started talking about that and asked you if you've received such a gift, instantly into your mind would have come those gifts that you've gotten over the years that would fit into that category. Now, there won't be many of them. They're few and far between. They're very, very rare, but they're very memorable. Have you ever had a gift like that? Well, you may never have had one, but the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul received a gift so incredible that Paul, who was a preacher, now remember, that's significant. He was a preacher, and yet he was left without words. He was left tongue-tied and speechless. Let me show you the gift. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Take your Bible, if you will, very quickly, and I want you to open them up to the book of 2 Corinthians. And look with me now this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And let me show you just one verse of Scripture to start with, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. We're going to talk for a few moments this morning about God's unspeakable gift. Now, of course, today is the Sunday before Christmas. This is Christmas Eve. And I don't know what you think of when you think of Christmas. Probably a lot of things come to mind. For some of you, you're already thinking about a family get-together that you're going to in the next couple of days. Others of you will think about some tradition that you have at this season, maybe some special event like the Christmas Eve communion. Some of you, when you think of Christmas, certain songs come into your head. Some of you may even think of a certain food that you eat only one time a year. And thank goodness it's only one time a year that you consume it. There are a lot of things that come to mind, but universally, all of us are going to think of this one thing. When you think of Christmas, you think of giving. Some gift that you want to give or want someone to give to you. Christmas and giving go hand in hand. They're synonymous. And I want you to know that's not bad. That's good. Every once in a while, someone complains. They say, you know, all this giving at Christmas has gotten out of control. Why can't we get back to the true meaning of Christmas? Well, guys, I want you to understand something. Part of the true meaning of Christmas is in giving. In fact, the very first gift ever given, God Himself gave. He's the one who started the tradition. 2,000 years ago, in a place called Bethlehem, God gave mankind a wonderful gift. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And it's a tremendous gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Now, it's that gift that the Apostle Paul is thinking about in this passage of Scripture. Let me explain to you something about this passage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, you have the concluding statement. Now listen, the concluding statement of two chapters. There's one section of Scripture that goes together here, chapter 8 and chapter 9. And Paul here is thinking about the great gift God's given in Christ Jesus. Look, if you will, in verse 15. Paul says it something like this: thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. You understand what he's talking about there? He's talking about the gift that God has given to us, to you and to me. You know, as you read through the Bible, you're going to discover that God's always been a giving God. Every book of the Bible, He gives something. In Genesis, He gives life. In Exodus, He gives deliverance. In Deuteronomy, He gives the law. In Joshua, He gave the land. To Samson, He gave strength. To Solomon, He gave wisdom. To Job, He gave twice as much as He had before. To Hezekiah, He gave a sign. To Ezekiel, He gave a vision. To Isaiah, He gave a call. To David, He gave forgiveness. To Paul, He gave knowledge and wisdom. To James, He gave practical insight. To Philip, He gave a deep understanding of the gospel. To Thomas, who was a doubter, He gave faith. And all through the Bible, God was giving. But I want you to know, there's nothing that God ever gave that surpasses what He gave 2,000 years ago when He gave His Son. Now let me explain how this develops and why Paul is saying this. Chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians deal with the subject of giving. In fact, if you go back and read, in chapter 8 and 9, he's speaking to the church at Corinth and he's encouraging them to give. Really what he's doing is this: he's taking up a love offering for foreign missions, just like we've been doing over the holiday season. And to motivate them to give, he begins talking about the great gift God gave when He gave us His Son. And after he thinks about this wonderful gift that God has given, he breaks out in a chorus of praise in verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His indescribable gift. Now what do you suppose he means, though, when he calls this an indescribable gift? If you have a different translation of the Bible, you're probably aware that that word indescribable translates into different words. For example, some of you have a translation that says priceless. Another translation says precious. Another translation, I believe the Old King James, says unspeakable gift. Well, why all the different translations, and what does the word really mean? Well, let me give you a little Bible knowledge here. The reason this word is translated in so many different ways is because it is a unique word in the Greek language. In fact, it only appears one time in the entire Bible, and it's right here in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. In fact, Greek scholars tell us that this word, as far as they know, never appears in the annals of Greek literature at all until Paul uses it in 2 Corinthians 9:15. But what does that mean? Well, what it means, what it implies is this. It's a word Paul made up. That's what it implies. Paul had no word to describe this wonderful gift that God has given. So he coined his own phrase. He coined his own word. But what did he mean by that? Well, I want you to understand, this is a word that's hard to translate. Because in the English, we don't have a word that closely associates with it. It means more than indescribable. It means more than priceless or precious or even unspeakable. The best we can understand is this. The word literally, most literally, meant breathless. It was a word that was used somehow to describe someone who would be running at a full gait and be completely out of breath and could not speak because he had no breath to speak with. I suppose the closest association we could get with it would be this. If we were to say breathtaking, the most literal rendition of this verse would be, thanks be unto God for His breathless or His breathtaking gift. But now, why did he say that? Why did he speak about Christ, this wonderful gift that God has given to us 2,000 years ago? Why did he speak of Christ that way and say He was an unspeakable gift, an indescribable gift, a breathtaking gift? Well, this morning, that's what I want to talk to you about. Let me very quickly take you through this passage of Scripture, and I want to give you a Christmas present this morning. I thought about this and tried to figure out what would be a good present to give the congregation on Christmas Eve. So here it is. I'm going to give you a short sermon. That's a pretty good gift, isn't it? I thought I'd get an amen out of that, but I'm going to give you a rather short sermon. Rather than 3 points or 4 points or 5 points, this one hopefully will have two. If it has any at all, it should have at least 2 points to it. But we're going to move rapidly through it, and I want you to think about what caused Paul to call this gift an unspeakably precious gift. It's not hard to figure out. In fact, if you think about it, there are only two things, really, that would make a gift precious. Let me tell you what they are, then I'll show it to you. The first thing that makes a gift precious is the sacrifice of the giver. The second thing that makes a gift precious or priceless is the impact of the gift. I think Paul has both things in mind. Now, very quickly, let me run through these. Here's the first one. I think when Paul says this is an unspeakably precious gift, he has in mind the sacrifice of the giver. I want you to know that this was a costly gift. Let me give you a statement. I want you to think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, the more costly, are you listening? The more costly the gift, the more precious. More priceless, the more meaningful. Wouldn't you think that's true? The more costly the gift, the more precious it's going to be. Now please, don't misinterpret what I said. I didn't say the more expensive the gift. I said the more costly the gift. And there's a difference between something being expensive and something being costly. You say, well, I thought those were the same thing. No, not at all. In fact, the truth is, you can have something very expensive that's not costly. Or you can have something very costly that's not expensive. Let me illustrate. For example, you can give a gift that's very expensive but not very costly. Imagine, if you will, that someone gives you this Christmas a gift worth $10,000. Now, I think anybody here would agree that's an expensive gift. Wouldn't you nod your head? Sure, that's an expensive gift, and I want you to know I'm going to appreciate it if you give it to me. It is an expensive gift. But is it a costly gift? Well, it all depends, doesn't it? Suppose the person who gives you this $10,000 gift is a multi-billionaire. Now, it's an expensive gift, but is it really very costly? No, it's not, is it? Why? There's no real sacrifice involved. But on the other hand, a gift can be very costly, but not very expensive. For example, here's a single mom. She doesn't have a husband or father in the home to help pay for these bills and raise these kids. She's working a job, just trying to make ends meet. And during the Christmas season, she takes on a second job just to be able to earn enough money to go to a secondhand store and buy some toys for her kids. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that expensive? No. Is it costly? Yes. What's the difference? The difference is the sacrifice that's involved. Don't you see what I'm saying? Have you ever received a gift that didn't cost much in terms of price? But cost a great deal in terms of sacrifice? I have. My sister and I were growing up, and I don't want to give you sad tales, because we had a really great life. But when my sister and I were growing up, Christmas was a big time for us. We always enjoyed it. My parents had a bad habit. Same habit that I've picked up. And the habit is that they never really gave many presents during birthdays or special events like that. But Christmas, my parents always went overboard if they could. And when my dad's work was good, he would always go overboard with extravagant gifts. He'd buy expensive things like bicycles, and that was expensive back then. Every once in a while, our family would get in a situation where Dad's job would play out. We moved all the time. I told you that as a boy, I can remember from the age of 5 to the age of 17, living in 11 different houses and changing school systems 6 different times. We moved quite often. And Dad would go where the work was. And sometimes the work was good and Christmas was good, but there were a few occasions when the work played out and Christmas was bad. One particular year was the third grade Christmas. That year, Christmas was not all that great. In fact, my father had lost his job. I don't know all the details or why it happened, but he was fired. And my father and mother told me, they said, listen, Christmas this year will be sparse and don't count on getting anything much. My guys, I want to tell you, when you're in third grade, you don't believe that because Santa Claus never runs out of money. But they were telling the truth. It was very sparse. In fact, I remember what they gave me. That year, I got up and under the tree in a package was a package of Play-Doh and a couple little molds to put the Play-Doh in. And a Bible they bought at a dime store. And the most costly thing they got me that Christmas was that Bible they bought at that dime store. Now I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. That was chicken feed in terms of money. It was pocket change then. It was pocket change now. And it wasn't expensive, but it was costly to them that year. The interesting thing about it, all the expensive gifts my parents gave me and those good Christmases, I don't have one of them. Not one of them. I either outgrew them or tore them up, usually within a week after I got them. But I want to show you something here. This is that Bible that I got in the third grade. It is the only thing I still have my parents gave me for Christmas. It wasn't expensive. In fact, in the front, the price is still written in. It cost $2.95. That was it. It's right here if you want to see the price. You can't buy it today for that. But I want to tell you, it's very precious to me. And I've kept it all these years. It wasn't expensive.
But it was costly. And see, I think that's what Paul has in mind. Paul talks about God's unspeakable gift. It's costly. In fact, let me show you what it cost. It cost God the Son a great deal. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Very quickly, back up to verse chapter 8, verse 9. You're in chapter 9, verse 15. You back up to one chapter. And look, if you will, in chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Now remember, Paul is talking about the great cost involved and the great sacrifice. He says in verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." You know what that means? Let me paraphrase. What he's saying is this. He's talking about the pre-existing and the pre-incarnate existence of Christ. And he says, before he was rich, I think that to mean that everything the Father had, the Son had. But when he became poor, he gave it all up. I said this to you last week. It's incredible. He came from the realms of glory to be born and laid in the manger of Bethlehem. But I want you to understand, it cost not just Christ the Son, it cost God the Father. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." You know what means the only begotten, by the way? Why Christ is called the only begotten? That literally means that Christ is the only Son who is full of nature. God's full of nature. Today God has many sons, many daughters. You only have one that's full of nature. That's Christ. He gave him up. So I have three kids. I can't imagine who would give him my kids for any reason, let alone
willingly giving one of them up, and God the Father gave his Son 2,000 years ago. What an incredible thing. What a price. What a sacrifice. What cost. I tell you, the great thing about it is this. He gave it to you and you don't deserve it. I want you to understand that the gift that God gave is not something you're worthy of. Have you ever received a gift and you thought when you got it that, hey, I deserve this? You know, you gave something to someone, so they gave it something back to you. And you said to yourself, well, that's nice. I'm getting what I deserve. Or you open the package up and you're disappointed with the gift and you say, hey, I didn't get what I deserve. I gave you a better gift. In this case, I want you to understand you didn't deserve what God gave to you. The Bible says, while yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a gift, a precious gift. You're saved by grace through faith, the Bible says, not of works. It is the gift of God, the unmerited gift of God, the love gift of God, the grace gift of God. In fact, that's the difference between Christianity and every other belief in the world. Every other belief in the world has man somehow trying to be worthy or earn God's wonderful gift, either by reaching up or reaching out or reaching in. In Christianity, God has reached down and He's touched you and He's done it even though you don't deserve it. By the way, let me show you something here. You know what it means when it says that God gave His own Son? I tell you, it means this. If He would do that, it means He'd give you anything. Anything God the Father has to offer, you can count on it. He'll give it to you. Let me show you a wonderful verse of Scripture very quickly. Turn in your Bible as fast as you can to the book of Romans. I want you to look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Are you still with me? Let me show you. It's an incredible verse of Scripture. Romans 8 verse 31, the Apostle Paul is speaking again. And again, he's talking about the great gift God has given. And this is what he says. Look in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? To paraphrase, that means if God's on your side, who cares who isn't? Verse 32. Now listen carefully. But he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Now are you listening? You understand what he just said? He said, if God would give you His Son, He'd give you anything. Every once in a while, I come across a Christian who says, yeah, I believe in God, believe in Christ, but I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure God's given me eternal life. Guys, if God would give His Son to you, He'd give you anything. Think of it like this. Not original to me, but I like it, so I'll use it. I want you to imagine for a moment that you were to come to me and say to me, Pastor, you have three kids. Give me one of your kids. And I ask you, well, why do you want my child? And suppose you were to say, well, you know, I've gotten in trouble and I've been sentenced to death and I need someone to die in the electric chair in my place. Now, I want you to understand I'd never give up one of my children for anything, let alone that. But imagine, hypothetically, imagine that I would. Hypothetically, just think that I loved you or cared for you so much that I would actually give up one of my sons or my daughter and let them die in your place. Now, once that had happened, then you came back to me and you said to me, now, Pastor, you've given me your child. How about giving me your car? How about your house? How about your bank account? How about your VCR and your TV? Why don't you give that to me as well? Do you think I'd give you those things? Sure I would. If I give you my son, I'd give you anything. If you could convince me to give you my child, you could convince me to give you anything. That's exactly what Paul means here when he says, if God spared not His own Son, how much more will He freely give us all things? I want you to know, if God gave up His Son Christ, He'll give you forgiveness of sin. He'll give you eternal life. Everything He has to offer, God will give. Now, that's the first thing I want you to understand. As Paul thinks about this wonderful, incredible gift, he says it's unspeakable. Because he thinks about the sacrifice of the giver. Now, very quickly, one more thing. Then he talks about the impact of the gift. Now, look up here. I want to explain something to you. You need to understand that there are some gifts that are precious simply because they affect your life in a dynamic way. Now, you have to understand there are some gifts that don't have much impact. Have you ever received a gift that was nice but not needed? Sort of like giving a beer mug to a Baptist preacher. Or have you ever received a gift that was sweet but not significant? Sort of like giving someone one of these chia pets. Y'all know what a chia pet is? One of these little clay animals that you smear stuff on and a fungus-like plant grows. You know, they say it's the thought that counts. I've often wondered, what are you thinking when you give one of those things? I'm sorry, I've probably spoiled someone's Christmas, haven't I? It's a sweet gift, but it's not very significant. But on the other hand, there are certain gifts that you give that make an impact. Here's a young woman. She's with a man she loves, and he reaches into his pocket and pulls out a little velvet-covered box with a diamond ring. And he says, honey, I love you, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and this ring is yours. I want you to marry me. That gift has an impact, doesn't it? Here's a young man. He's in a waiting room, and a nurse comes out and says, sir, your wife has just given you a son. That's a significant gift. It has an impact, makes a difference in your life. I think when Paul thinks about what God has given in Christ, that's what he has in mind. It's a gift that makes a difference. It impacted his life in a marvelous way. See, this is true in a general sense. In all of history, no one has ever impacted humanity like Christ. Of all the kings that have ever reigned, and all the armies that have ever marched, and all the rulers that have ever ruled, all the inventions ever created, and all the discoveries ever made, all of that put together, none of it affects humanity like Christ. All of history focused on him. But I want you to understand, there's not just a general dimension, there's a personal dimension to this as well. Let me tell you what Paul has in mind. When Paul thinks about Christ and this wonderful gift that God has given, he's thinking about how it's affected his life. And how it impacted the life of so many people that he knew. Think in the Bible of all the people whose lives were radically changed. Peter, for example. Man, by the time you get to the end of the Bible, Peter is bold and he's full of courage and full of faith. He's the preacher of Pentecost. Guys, that is the conclusion. It's not the beginning. Go back to the beginning. That was the finished product, not the raw material. When you go to the first of it, the raw material is not a man who's bold, but a man who's audacious. Not a man full of faith, but a man who is a coward. Not a courageous man, but a man who is foolish. But something happened in Peter's life. What happened? God gave him a gift, the gift of salvation, Christ in his heart. And when God gave that gift, it changed his life. In fact, you can see the change just in the name that he took. In the beginning of the Bible, Peter is known as Simon. That word Simon is a word that means a fluttering one. It was the same word that was used to describe the fluttering of a butterfly. It was used to describe someone who is unstable. But then Christ comes to Peter and he says, Peter, you'll no longer be called Simon, but you'll be called Peter from the word Petros, which means rock, stable one. What happened to Peter? God gave him a gift that changed his life. Think about John. John is one of the original sons of thunder, a son of Zebedee. He was vile-tempered, wanted to call fire down out from heaven. And by the end of the Bible, he becomes the apostle of love. Think about Thomas, full of doubt. He becomes one of the greatest disciples of faith. Think about Zacchaeus up in the tree, a greedy, money-grubbing man, who by the end of the story becomes one of the greatest benefactors to the kingdom of God. Think about that Gadarene demoniac who stripped himself naked and cut himself and ran through tombs, scaring little children and threatening adults. By the end of the story, he becomes a missionary to a place called Gadara. He became the first missionary to the Greek-speaking world. Not Paul, but the demoniac. What happened? God gave him a gift, and the gift changed his life. See, this is what Paul has in mind. He thinks about what God's done for him through Christ. In the beginning, Paul was a man of hatred and bitterness and anger. Then God gave him an encounter with Christ, and this apostle of hate became an apostle of grace. The gift made the difference. And see, that's true for some of you. Not all of you, but for some of you. There's some of you who are sitting here now. You're not what you once were. God made a difference in your life. I was having lunch with a man not long ago, and he was talking about one of the members of our church and how much he admired this man. I said, yeah, he's a great man. He said, well, you just don't know the whole story, Pastor. If you had known him when? And he began to fill me in on what this man's life had been like years before and the things he had done, the problems that he had had. But now, what a man of faith he is. But what happened? God got in his life. God gave him a gift. That gift impacted his life, changed it. This is what happened to me. I became a Christian the summer after my graduation from high school. I made a very small decision, what I thought was a very small decision. I was a little church called Falling Creek Baptist Church, outside of town, out in the country, in a little bitty place called Elberton, Georgia. A little church, maybe on the best Sunday, ran about 100 in attendance. And one Sunday morning, I simply walked forward, took the pastor by the hand, and said, listen, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. And we prayed, and I asked Christ into my life right there. And I want you to know that nothing has ever impacted my life like that. Not the birth of my children or marrying my wife, none of those things. Nothing good, nothing bad, no other event, no other experience, nothing I've ever learned, nothing I've ever been through has had the impact that one decision had on my life. And I want you to know, at first it didn't seem like it had much impact. Let me tell you why very quickly. You see, when I first made that decision, there wasn't a lot of change. Didn't seem like it did a lot of good. Here's why. Before I made that decision, my life was going in one direction, and everybody I knew was going the same direction. I didn't know anybody else who was a believer other than a few folks in that church. And my friends and loved ones, they were all going that way, away from God.
And I was going the same way, and then I made a decision. And when I trusted Christ as Lord, my life turned around and went in the other direction. And for a long time, there wasn't a lot of difference between us. They were going this way, and I was going that way. But for a long time, we were still fairly close in the way we thought, the way we acted. Our perspectives were pretty much the same. But as time went on, the change became noticeable. And now, they're way over there in their perspective of life. And I'm way over here in my perspective of life. And the only thing different about us is that I made a decision for Christ over a quarter of a century ago. And that little decision changed me. See, that's what Paul has in mind. He thinks about this incredible gift that God has given. What a cost. And what an impact. And he says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You say, well, Pastor, you know, I've been coming to church a lot, and I can't say that my life has been impacted that greatly by Christ. Well, let me tell you what's wrong with a lot of us. You know what's wrong? We've been given a gift that we haven't unwrapped. Can you imagine someone giving you a gift at Christmas, and you take it and stick it under the tree, and you never unwrap it? Once or twice a year, you get it out. You look at it. You know, you get it out on Christmas and Easter, and you study the folds of the paper and the print. You know every loop in the bow by heart. Maybe once or twice a week you take that gift and you put it under your arm and you bring it to church with you. But you never unwrap it. You never take it out. That's exactly what's happened with so many people. And they've been given the wonderful gift that God has for them in Christ, and they've never unwrapped it. They look at it, they study it, they know all the folds of it, they know every loop in the bow, but they've never really applied it themselves. They've never simply taken it out of the package and said, this is mine. I believe it, I receive it, I accept it, and I apply it to my life. Everything Christ ever did for me, I accept it as mine. You see, it's not coming to church. It's not carrying the package. It's knowing the Lord. Don't you understand what Christmas is about? Bethlehem was chapter 1 of the story of God sending His Son to be born of a virgin, to live without sin, to die on a cross, to rise on the third day, to ascend to the Father, and one day to come again for you. But it's all for you. It's a precious, unspeakably precious gift that God has given. Don't leave it in the wrapper. Let's pray together. Well, Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for the wonderful gift of salvation that comes through Him. Thank You for grace that makes all things possible. Thank You for being a God who would give though we're not worthy of giving. And a God who would save though we're not worthy to be saved. Father, for those who've never unwrapped the gift, let this be the day they personally take it out and receive it for themselves and say, this that God has done, I accept as my very own. Speak to our hearts as we sing today, Lord. Help us to be focused on Christ and what He's done for us. And thank You for Your unspeakably precious gift. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.